You're listening to the Actionable Marketing Podcast, powered by CoSchedule, the number one marketing calendar for everything you need organized.
Here's the thing. You've probably heard about Agile Project Management, and at first, it sounds super intimidating. Because let's face it, it's scientifically proven that the forces of change pushing against the forces of resistance make us feel comfortable and compliant with status quo. But if you don't want any more of those fire drills, if you don't want last-minute emergencies from David in sales for projects he wanted done yesterday, if you don't want messy workflows that don't actually make workflow smoothly, maybe Agile is the perfect solution for your busy marketing team. That's why you and I are talking to the smartest person I know who applies Agile processes into solid marketing management. Her name's Andrea Freirier, and she's the president and lead trainer at Agile Sherpas. You're about to learn what Agile marketing actually looks like, how to prioritize your projects, and a handful of different examples to use Agile methodologies within your marketing team. I'm Nathan from CoSchedule, and this episode is absolutely packed with actionable advice, so let's get into it with Andrea. Hey, Andrea, thank you for being on the podcast today.
You're so welcome. I'm really excited.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. Can you just kick this off with talking about Agile Sherpas, what it is that you guys do over there?
Sure. So Agile Sherpas is an Agile marketing training and consulting company. So our mission is basically to make marketing suck a little bit less from day to day. Just helping marketers reform their process by applying Agile principles and the Agile mindset to the way that we manage our work. So we go in and train companies and help walk them through how to get through that process as quickly and painlessly as possible.
Makes a lot of sense. And I'm so excited about this topic. Let's just start with the basics. What is Agile marketing?
Right. So the thorny question there. Agile marketing is not just doing things faster. It is not permission to change your mind all the time and have no plan. Instead, it's actually using these principles and approaches that were originally developed in the world of software and then applying them in a marketing context. So it's actually pretty rigorous when you get down to it. Lots of different ceremonies or meetings and specific ways of handling work. Scrum is a common one, but it's not the only way to be agile. It's really more about thinking of your work differently. So small, low risk experiments that you can run and then see what's working and what's not, and then build on things that are successful and, you know, leave things that are not working behind you more quickly. It's also very focused on the team. So the people who are actually doing the work probably have the best ideas about how to make it better and how to communicate with the audience better. So getting them involved sooner, instead of just kicking a project over to your graphics team and saying, make this pretty, then you bring them in up front and let them collaborate on the work.
And you mentioned a word there that some of us might not be familiar with. Like, what do you mean by Scrum?
Sure. So Scrum is kind of the most popular methodology or approach to Agile. It involves these like time boxes. So we do a sprint that lasts 1 to 4 weeks, and the team basically commits and says, we can achieve X amount of work in this amount of time. And then ideally, they're left alone to go execute against only that work over the next couple of weeks. And then they release the work and talk about how it went and then make it a little better next time. So it's really about this continuous cycle of releasing new work and then taking on new work. And it's shrinking down kind of the feedback loop. You know, no more quarter-long campaigns where we don't release anything for 3 months and then we don't know if it worked for another 3 months, that kind of stuff. We want to shorten that feedback loop. And Scrum can help do that.
We've heard about all sorts of project management methodologies. One of them is waterfall, and we're talking about Agile today. I'm just wondering if you could explain, you know, what's the difference between waterfall project management and Agile?
Right. So waterfall assumes that you know everything up front, and therefore you can make this beautifully precise and detailed plan that will be true until the project is finished. And if that actually happens, then great, and Waterfall will work really well for you. But in marketing, we don't usually know everything up front. And things change quite a bit between when we make our plan and when we release the work. So in those environments, then a more agile approach where we plan a little bit, do a little bit of work, and then stop and evaluate, and then repeat that process a lot of times, usually helps us deal with the volatility and uncertainty that we have to deal with in our day-to-day lives.
When you come up with a project plan, it's kind of just a big, huge guess, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And if you make a big guess and you get it wrong, then it turns into a really big mess.
How do agile marketers prioritize the projects? We all have so much work we could do. How do agile marketers focus? What process do you recommend?
So agile marketers live and die by their backlog, which is basically like a prioritized to-do list. And so I have a backlog personally that I use to manage my work, and a team would have the same thing, but it would be the team's priorities. And then whenever they have time to work on something new, they take that top item from the backlog and they know that it's the most important work at that moment, which means that you do have to have a lot of conversations about the backlog so that it stays current and people are working on the right stuff.
So just a prioritized list in some ways.
Yeah, definitely. Then you get into the sticky conversation of what actually goes into the backlog, and you don't want it to get too big because then you're trying to resort and reprioritize this list of, you know, hundreds of things. And it can be difficult to know how specific to get as well, because you don't want to lay out 150 tasks for one project in the backlog because it's just messy and noisy. But, you know, it's kind of a fine line of giving the team enough information to do their work and not micromanaging them to death.
And one of the things that you kind of talk about once you start working on those projects is this idea behind boundaries. I'm kind of wondering if you could explain, like, why is it important for boundaries to be placed on the work that the team is up to?
So many reasons. I mean, like, just the concept of multitasking alone. You know, if we have 10 things that we're trying to work on, we're not doing a very good job on any of them. And so whether it's that sprint time box that I was talking about or other limiting practices that come into play, when we can get the team to focus and set these boundaries, then they can stop starting on a whole bunch of stuff and actually start finishing projects and getting it out the door. One of my favorite examples is, like, if I do an outline for a blog post and I create the skeleton of a new email drip series, and then I come up with a new social media plan, but I don't actually release an article or send an email or, you know, update my social media. Did I actually do anything this week? As far as the audience knows, I did nothing. So we have to actually, you know, balance what we're doing and get stuff out into the world. And having boundaries helps us do that. So we're not constantly succumbing to the, could you just do this for me really quick kinds of work.
And what you kind of alluded to right there is saying no to certain projects, certain tasks or requests. So why is it more important now than ever for marketers to learn how to say no?
Really limiting our work and focusing in is the only way we're going to get to the point of doing really good, high quality work that's focused on the audience. Otherwise, we're always going to be a slave to the next deadline and just trying to get stuff out the door, which has gotten us into a pretty bad mess at this point. And there's always more that we could be doing. So one of my favorite, like, agile values is to maximize the amount of work not done. So to really talk about what's important and to only do that. And then to be able to, you know, push back sort of gently. So you can say things like, yeah, that's a great idea, I'll put it in the backlog, instead of, no, we're not doing that. The conversation is a little bit different.
Sometimes with marketing, we just get those requests from sales. We get requests to create things for HR, for recruitment campaigns or whatever. Do you have any more advice for, like, how marketers can say no gracefully or with some tact?
Yeah. Not right now is my favorite. Okay, great. Here's what I'm working on now. Which of those things is this more important than? Basically, what would you like me to stop working on so that I can take on this quote unquote emergency? that has come up. And then oftentimes once people know what you would be, what they would be replacing, then it suddenly puts things in perspective and it doesn't seem quite so urgent. But without having that visibility and that transparency, which you get really from an agile approach, then that conversation's a lot, it feels a lot more personal, right? It feels like it's more about my project or my idea, when really it's just about my colleagues' workloads and their desire to do quality work.
You know, we're kind of talking about setting those boundaries, saying no, but still with marketing, it's so easy to get lost in that whirlwind of daily activity. And you were kind of mentioning this, where you do 10 different things, and at the end of the day, you didn't actually ship anything. How can marketers use agile methodology to focus on those projects that actually make that impact and really not work on those other things?
Yeah, I get this question a lot from clients who are like, you know, I have to do social media and I have to do content. These are things that I have to just do to keep the lights on, but I want to do some really innovative and cool new stuff too. So should I keep the lights on work off of my agile board and keep it sort of separate? And actually, I think it works better if you have them all out in the open on the same board, whether that's, you know, your wall where you have a bunch of stickies or your digital Trello board or whatever it might be, because then you can really see how much time you're spending on each one. So if your board is taken up with 80% of like daily rote type tasks, you know you only have 20% of your time to do something really cool and innovative. And you might be okay with that, or that might not be the balance that you're after. But you need that visualization to be able to understand how you're spending your time.
If you're like me, you are learning a ton from Andrea. She is seriously smart. And if you like this podcast and you want to hear from more savvy marketers like Andrea, would you do me a favor? I would love a review and rating from you on iTunes. Your reviews help us reach a larger audience so we can continue to attract the top marketers out there as guests for the Actionable Marketing Podcast. So leave your review on iTunes, take a screenshot, and send it to podcast@coschedule.com with your postal mailing address. To return the favor, I will mail you a sweet care package from your friends at CoSchedule. So leave your review on iTunes, then send a screenshot to podcast@coschedule.com along with your physical mailing address. All right, let's get back to it with Andrea. Another downfall with marketing is that seemingly endless oversight, the approvals, there's revisions going back and forth, the list goes on of all those things. Basically, approval processes just kind of suck, right? How can marketers use Agile to proactively prevent some of those roadblocks?
Yeah, so having that visibility and transparency again is crucial here, because then you have a more data-driven discussion around, you know, when we send things to legal, it takes 2 weeks for us to get it back. And that's giving us, you know, we can't meet our deadlines or whatever the actual result is, instead of just coming to people and saying, you're making us crazy because you take forever. Even though that can be sometimes comforting to say to people. And having things out on the board is just so powerful. Just saying like, okay, we gave you this piece of content and we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for feedback. And then once you have it out there and it's clear that this is a problem and it's gumming up your workflow, then you can create some policies. So one team that I work with was having this huge struggle. And so they instituted a 5-day black hole rule. So if they give you something and it takes you more than 5 days, then they call it that piece of content has like fallen into the black hole and it goes back to the bottom of their backlog. And you've basically been pushed to the bottom of the queue and it's going to take a really long time for your project to work its way back up. And so they've started kind of teaching people that if you want our team to work with you effectively, you need to give us feedback faster. And it's a little bit of an extreme approach, but it was an extreme situation that they were in. But just having those kinds of clear guidelines for people of, look, here's our board, here's our workflow, this is where you come in, and this is how we expect you to deal with us can really help, instead of just, can you please get to this whenever you have a minute?
Just to pick on that just a little bit, like when you know something's going to take a while for approval, can you just build that into your workflow? Like X amount of, you know, legal takes 2 weeks. So could you just say, hey, we're going to get done with this piece on this day, give this team 2 weeks to do it, and we're going to ship this piece then after that. Would that be an effective way or of thinking about Agile?
Yeah, you could definitely build that into the workflow for sure. And then you can start to get more data around it. So you might not know upfront that legal takes 2 weeks, but if you track it for a couple of iterations, then you can say, oh, hey, look, it takes legal about 2 weeks. And then you can work that in, or it takes, you know, takes our IT team 3 days to publish things on average, right? We've measured this over enough time that we know that. Now, even if they tell us they're going to try to get to it in a day, we know that it usually takes them 3 days. And so we can work with that.
Nice. I don't know. I really like that approach because it helps you plan ahead. You can control what you can control, but you're planning those things into your workflow. And so you can realistically know those publish dates a little bit better.
Yeah. Yeah. And at some point too, you can figure out where your workflow actually stops. You know, once content or anything passes out of your control, then you kind of have to stop worrying about it too at some point, so that you can, like we were talking about, move on to that next thing and not stay hung up on something when you can't really control it anymore.
How should marketers be using Scrum? Like how does that process work for marketing specifically?
So I often say that Scrum has the best PR agency of any of the Agile methodologies because it's just the most well-known, and that's the one that people hear about the most. And so it tends to be where people start, oftentimes because they don't know they have another option. And Scrum is great. Like, I'm not a Scrum, an anti-Scrum person. I like it and I've used it with teams, but it can get a little sticky for people because it has really prescribed roles, like a scrum master who's in charge of the process and a product owner who's supposed to, in the world of software, be making sure that the programmers are building the right product based on what the business goals are. We don't build products usually in marketing. And so instantly, as soon as people hear about that, they're like, well, I don't know how that applies. And then things start to break pretty quickly. So the good thing about Scrum is that it does give you these small time boxes to work in. So sitting people down and saying, what can we do in the next 2 weeks and what should we do in the next 2 weeks can be a much easier conversation than what should we do this year. It's just easier to think in those smaller time frames. And you can also push back on people more effectively when you can say, we'll get to that at the beginning of next sprint, which starts in 5 days. Instead of, you know, no, I can't work on that right now. And just, I'll get to it when I can get to it. But framing things in these smaller time horizons can help. So Scrum works nicely in marketing in those ways. When you get into things like creative services or social media or content that's more continuous delivery type work, then Scrum time boxes can start to feel a little constraining and stressful. So my advice is always for people to be open to exploring other options and not feeling like they have to force themselves to fit into this really strict Scrum mold, because it doesn't always fit exactly for marketers.
Okay. No, that's awesome advice. And you had mentioned that there are other things. I know Kanban is one of them. Would you mind sharing a little bit about that and how that might work?
Yeah. So I love Kanban because it's designed to work on top of however you're doing work right now. So you don't have to change anything and you could start doing it tomorrow and start finding ways to improve your process, which I think is super cool. So what it focuses on is helping you visualize your workflow. So what states do things go through? The simplest board is always to do, doing, and done. But of course, we often have, you know, in the world of content, we might have researching, writing, editing, publishing, right? You might go through several different phases. But then you can put limitations on each of those states. So we can only be, let's say our team of four people decides we can only be researching one thing at a time. We can be writing three things at a time, and we can be editing one thing at a time. And so it really forces us to move things from one state to another and get them to done, get them to published before we start picking up anything else. Those are called WIP limits, or work in progress limits. So just those two things alone, like visualizing your work and putting some limits on how much of each phase you can be doing, that alone can just like kick your productivity into high gear. And those are the first two like simple steps of Kanban. And then there's more sophisticated things you can start adding, but those are things you can do literally in a day to get started and kind of get your feet wet, which I love. And Scrum is much more, you know, let's pause and do sprint planning and do estimation. And it's a lot more like upfront work. So Kanban can be more appealing for people who aren't ready to hit pause and learn a whole new way of working.
You know, just to transition, I think there's one other methodology that you had kind of written about or talked about before. Talk to me about Scrumban and how marketers might be able to use that process.
So Scrumban is cool because it lets you kind of go to the Agile buffet and bring back anything that looks like it would work for you. So if you like those ideas of time boxes, or your manager really likes the idea of time boxes, so they know you're going to be releasing stuff every 2 weeks, then keep them. And if the roles of Scrum don't seem like they're working, then don't use those. And if you really like the work in progress limits from Kanban, then bring those with you. It's just like a way to customize the process by pulling from both of those camps. And really, this is where most agile marketing teams end up, even if they don't call it that, or they don't know that that's the name of it, because they do have to pick and choose what works for them and to create kind of their own customized approach, just because none of this was designed for marketers originally. So we are going to be sort of blazing trails no matter what we're doing.
Just to button up this episode, Andrea, I'm kind of wondering, like, for marketers who are new, this is a brand new idea to them, they're just learning about agile project management, like, what would you recommend that they do first? Where should they focus? How should they start?
I would say don't try to eat this whole elephant in one big bite. If you can come up with a small project to test it out on, or even a small subset of your team that's really enthusiastic, and let them kind of go off and experiment for a little while and then come back and share what they've learned. And then as time goes on, you can expand to more projects, expand to more people. Then you're going to make it a way more palatable to your leadership to let you have the leeway to experiment. And B, it's going to be way lower risk because you're not putting all your eggs in this basket right away. So there's not a lot of pressure for you to make it work instantly, because it's not going to work instantly. It's a process that has to be refined over time.
Nice. Andrea, I can already tell you, this is one of my favorite episodes that I've recorded. I think this was super actionable. So thank you so much for sharing everything that you shared today.
Oh, I'm so glad. You're very welcome.
At CoSchedule, I plan lots of projects like marketing automation, blog content, and, of course, this podcast. We leverage a type of Scrum Band to help us plan our work, then work our plan. Essentially, we work in one-week-long sprints, setting out on Monday and knowing what we're going to have done by the end of the week. Committing to completing all of that work keeps us shipping lots of content, and that in turn drives some big results for CoSchedule. And trust me, it is a lot to work through. So the principles of Agile have really helped our small team produce content like a larger enterprise would. So Andrea, thank you so much for sharing all of your advice today on the Actionable Marketing Podcast. I know this has been one of my favorite and most actionable episodes yet. And as always, thanks to you for listening to this episode. You just heard from Andrea Freirier. She's the president and lead trainer at Agile Sherpas. And if you liked what you learned today, would you mind doing that quick favor for me? I would absolutely love a review and rating from you on iTunes. Leave your review, take a screenshot, and send it to me at podcast@coschedule.com, along with your postal address. In return, I will mail you some pretty cool swag from CoSchedule. Your review helps us reach more marketers to not only help the marketing industry as a whole, but it also attracts more super smart guests to this podcast. So please, if you liked this episode with Andrea, leave your review on iTunes, send a screenshot to podcast@coschedule.com along with your physical mailing address, and I will mail you some cool stuff. All right, friends, I'm Nathan from CoSchedule, and I will catch you on the next episode.
You've been listening to the Actionable Marketing Podcast from your friends at CoSchedule. For more actionable content, visit CoSchedule.com.